Our rock and roll historian Ed Ward has an appreciation of Otis Redding, who Ed says defined the contemporary soul man.
What you want, honey, you got it. And what you need, baby, you got it. All I'm asking for the respect when I come home.
Otis Redding was the first rock and roll performer I ever wrote about, and I'll never forget how I discovered him. I was living on the Lower East Side in New York, and there were a couple of redneck beatniks in my building I'd hang out with sometimes. One day I was praising the Temptations to the sky, and one of these guys pulled out the most lurid album cover I'd ever seen. "Yeah," he drawled, "Motown's okay, but this here's the real deal."
This is my lover's prayer. I hope it'll reach out to you, my love. You can understand it, my love.
I had never heard anything like the way this guy phrased Lover's Prayer. And despite the eye-popping colors on Dictionary of Soul's cover, what was inside was as natural as can be. I went out and got a copy the next day, the same scratchy copy you just heard, and wound up reviewing it for one of the early issues of Crawdaddy in 1967. I knew nothing about Otis Redding's career, though. Nothing about his boyhood in Georgia or about his first record, Shout Bama Lama, on which he tried to be Little Richard.
He's down in Alabama. I'm shouting Bama Lama. Way down in Louisiana. Well, nobody's gonna set them down.
Redding was driving the bus for a much inferior group, Johnny Jenkins and the Pine Toppers, who backed him on Shout Bama Lama. And one day after a show in Memphis, they accompanied him to the legendary Stax Studios because a friend had put up money for a session, money borrowed from Jerry Wexler of Atlantic Records. Another Little Richard pastiche was recorded, and then a ballad.
These arms are mine. They are lonely. Lonely and fielding in blue. Arms of mine, they are yearning, yearning for wanting you, and if you would let them hold you, oh, how grateful I will be.
Wexler heard the tape, and a career was born. Otis got a lot better quickly. His idol was Sam Cooke, and in his grief after Cooke's death, he recorded one of his greatest albums, Otis Blue, which featured Respect, I've Been Loving You Too Long, a strange version of Satisfaction, and three Sam Cooke songs, Wonderful World, The Magisterial, Change Gonna Come, and Cooke's last recording, Shake.
You listen while I talk to you now. Going around, yeah. And I'll tell you what it's putting them down. Move your body all around, yeah. Shake, yeah. That's the way you do it now. All gone, gone, baby, now. Shake, 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 yeah.
Otis Blue came out in 1965, but in 1967, when I first heard Otis Redding, he was still unknown to most white people. That began to change, though, later in the year, when a visibly nervous Otis showed up at the Monterey Pop Festival, where his gruff manner won the crowd over.
This song is a song that, you know, we all ought to sing sometime. You know? This is the love crowd, right? We all love each other, don't we? Am I right? Let me hear you say that! I've been loving you too long, to stop now.
Otis was won over, too. He liked San Francisco, and in December, he was sitting in the studio with guitarist Steve Cropper. He was strumming a red guitar with two lines of a song in his head. Sitting in the evening sun, I'll be sitting here when morning comes. But I don't know why he's sitting, Otis mused. He's just sitting. Gotta be more to it than that. And suddenly, there was.
Sitting at the dock of the bay, take one.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and I'll watch them roll away again. I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, I headed for the Frisco Bay. I've got nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit.
There were five more takes, and the fourth one was the one they kept. The horn section set up to overdub the parts they tentatively played on that first take, and Otis stuck his head into the studio to tell everybody he'd see them on Monday after a weekend tour of Nashville, Cleveland, and Madison. He never made the last date. His plane went down in a frozen lake, and Otis Redding, barely 26 years old, died with most of his band. Steve Cropper dubbed the surf and seagulls on the dock of the bay, and Otis had his first number one record. In his autobiography, Jerry Wexler reports that his daughter Anita, one of the biggest Otis Redding fans who ever lived, asked Otis when she first met him, "How can you stand being Otis Redding?" Every time I listen to him, I know what she meant.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He currently lives and works in Germany.